The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
Settles in your soul.
Jefferson,
you
do indeed have souls.
Amen. Mama J. Good morning, everybody. This is Terry Raposa and
Janet Chandler.
And Lynn Carpenter. Good morning.
And we are here broadcasting live from KCNR Studios in downtown Reading on Jefferson State of Mind. You can listen in on 96.5 FM where the music is better and 1460 AM. Also, we are streaming live on KCNRradio.com, KCNRradio.com, and that is worldwide streaming. And we archive. 5 minutes after this program is over, Alex raising his hand in there, you won't be able to talk today. Sorry, buddy. it'll be streaming live. As we say, this is a very important program that we've got going today. We have Patrick and Lori Jones here with us. We've got some very important news on some things that Patrick's been working on to help us all gain our liberty and really trying to peel back the onion of corruption that we have here in Shasta County. So without further ado, I'm going to pass this right over to Patrick. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning, Terry. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
Appreciate it. So earlier this week, we had a tentative ruling on the case with myself and Bridget, Shasta County District Attorney Bridget, Stephanie Bridget, and basically the court allowed the stay, which basically means that I don't have standing. And that was, you know, the main issue this entire time, and we've been working on this for a couple years, trying to hold the district attorney accountable for the fraud that she committed in 2022. And the county should have pursued this, and I tried for over a year to get the county to pursue it. That was the legal path to hold somebody accountable that's a county employee and an elected official. They refused to do that. And so now what we have is a situation where I had to sue, and the question is, would there be a statute that would allow me to have standing? And in essence, the court has ruled that there is no statute that allows an individual to have standing to sue the DA. Now, the judge did entertain the issue that we had in the suit mentioned at least 100 does, which there were a lot of people in that office, and so there may be action there. And of course, we did have at least two whistleblowers, and one whistleblower that worked in the office said that 80 to 90% of her time was campaigning for Stephanie Bridget on county time. So we'll see. It isn't over yet, but we'll see. My goal was simply to hold the district attorney accountable. So let's go back in time.
Can you clarify what a DOE is?
Just an individual.
Oh, okay.
You know, just an individual, like a Jane Doe or
but they
a John
to be,
Doe.
They had to be from that office, not outside the office.
Yeah, there was probably 75 people in that office, you know, and how many of them took part of the fraud.
Okay, thank you.
So when you go back to 2022, at the start of 2022, there was a primary coming up in June of that year, and Stephanie Bridget thought she'd be running unopposed, and shortly we saw that several positions that typically would be run unopposed had legitimate candidates, like John Green for sheriff and Bob Holsinger for ROV, Brian Caples for Office of Education, Chris Kellstrom, Kevin Cry, so forth. So there were six positions that people would basically come to know as the established candidates and the non-established candidates. Mm-hmm. And Stephanie was certainly one of the established candidates that were in that group. And she was going up against, and she, again, she felt she was going to run unopposed, which is often the case for DA. And here comes Eric Jensen out of the blue, well-financed, nice-looking, well-groomed gentleman, been an attorney, and coming on strong. And by March of 2022, clearly Stephanie Bridget was behind. And she didn't have a campaign manager. She didn't have an account. She had no money. And Eric Jensen's pouring it on. And the internal communications that we have seen shows just that it appears that Stephanie was saying, you know, if we don't start doing something different here, we're all going to be out of jobs here, by the end of the year. And we know that's not true. There is changeover when you have a new DA,
sure,
but people don't get fired necessarily. They just leave because they don't like a particular, particular direction that a DA is going to go.
Didn't that happen when she came into office?
And it did. And
yeah,
it did.
Okay.
Prior to that.
Clarification.
You know,
yeah.
So it's not uncommon, but you're not going to get fired. Clearly, people in her staff started campaigning, and we started noticing it. Now, what we assumed, a lot of us assumed, was that, okay, they've clocked off, you know, and they're not working on county time.
Mm-hmm.
And that simply wasn't the case. Their workload went drastically down, and they were more concerned with keeping their jobs than doing their job, which is what they get paid for. And their budget is, you know, roughly $12 million a year, and they're campaigning in that office. Her basic campaign manager, kind of by proxy, she even stated she was a whistleblower, saying 80 to 90% of my time was campaigning for Stephanie in the office.
Was any of this testimony able to be said in court?
No, they didn't look at the merits of the case at all. So we
nothing,
didn't look, we didn't look at any of that.
They don't look at the merits of the case?
No.
Then what do they look at?
They looked only if I had standing. And again, there's no statute that shows an individual can take on the DA in this manner for fraud. So very disappointing because it took, you know, this was about a 2-year process to get to this point, and, you know, frustrating. And we tried hard to be able to show that we had standing, that I was a taxpayer, that she defrauded me along with everybody in the county.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this investigation, investigations are very interesting with the county and the city too, but, being a former mayor, I've seen investigations at the city, and of course, being chairman of the board in 2023, we saw investigations, but 99% of the investigations apparently at the county have never come before the board. They're hidden. And so I would have not even known about the DA investigation, but we had just in mid-year of 2023, we had a new CEO, Dave Rickert, and he caught me in the hall one day, and said, hey, the investigation on the DA is wrapping up. And I said, well, I don't know anything about it, Dave. And he goes, well, go talk to Monica Fugit. That's a name we will talk about more later.
Mm-hmm.
So I go talk to Monica, and I said, Monica, Dave says there's an investigation on the DA, and it's wrapping up. And she goes, yeah, it's just wrapping up. And I said, well, how come I haven't heard of it before? And she goes, because we don't tell you about them. I said, all of them? And she goes, yeah. So every internal investigation that's been done on a department head or an individual was hidden from the board. And apparently, you know, Dave's new, so he didn't get the memo that said, don't tell board members or the chair about these investigations. And so I read, had to go take a look. I had to go to county council's office. They tried to redact everything for me, and I said, no, I want the unredacted version. So I got to see the unredacted version, and it was quite clear. And I said, well, these are the same things that I saw, too. And they go, well, why haven't you filed a claim? And I said, well, because I didn't know that they were doing it on county time. Now I see that they are. And so I became whistleblower number two. And an investigation was supposed to go on, or move it over to the grand jury and have a special grand jury. And at this time, we had the new county council, Joe Larmer. And he agreed at first to move this forward. But then obviously he either talked to the district attorney or to other district attorneys and said, you don't want to go down this path. So he started stalling me. And he had convinced other board members that, hey, we don't want to take on the DA, even though she committed fraud. Now, in that investigation, even though it was a very watered-down investigation, she admitted, they asked, did you campaign on county time? And she said, yeah, you know, a little bit. And he's looking at 29 emails that show she's campaigning on county time. The whistleblower is saying 80 to 90% of the time, and you're not looking at all the emails. You're not looking at all the Facebook posts and all these other things that are out there, and a vast amount of information showing that they got way behind in that. And so by March, April, May, and into June, they literally weren't doing their jobs, and they were campaigning on county time. How many people? That's what a good investigation was supposed to do. Joe Larmer stalled me and stalled me and stalled me. And he knew that by the end of the year that I would be out of office, certainly after June, he knew. And he just thought this thing will go away, and couldn't get the board to take action on it. And they knew of the fraud, but particularly Supervisor Kelstrom and Supervisor Cry knew it because they lived that cycle, and we saw it. And so we saw all that.
Yeah, we have a caller on the line. Richard, do you have a question or a comment for Patrick?
I have a quick comment. Good morning, by the way.
Good morning.
If the people were to start a recall against the DA now, it could make it to ballot about December of 2027, which would get her out of office 1 year early. Just saying, I might know some people. Anyway, you guys have a good day.
Thank you.
Thanks, Richard. Well, if there's anybody that knows anything about recall, it is Richard. Richard started the recall movement against Leonard Modi, which was successful. And this DA, one way or the other, not only because of the fraud that she committed in the 2022 primary, but all the Brady violations, all the other things that has come out of that, and just on and on and on.
Right.
The public, if they were fully aware, which if they were made fully aware, I think a recall would be successful. So we will go down that path as we see it. These investigations, that investigation was done on Stephanie Bridget in 2022 or 3 when they did that investigation with the first whistleblower. They downplayed it. They didn't want a lot of information out there. Now, they still had sustained allegations, and she admitted to the fraud, so you still have that. You know, in crime, you know, if I do a little assault, it's okay. You know, you don't have to. A lot of assault, okay, maybe we'll prosecute that, but a little bit, no. They tried to cover up as much as they can, and the whole thing would have been covered up completely if we hadn't caught it. And, you know, you fast forward, you take a look at what they're doing with Clint Curtis, right? They're different. There, they want to take him down, right? So there, they give the red flag to the investigator is to create anything you've got to do to try to nail this guy. We don't like this guy. Joe Larmer clearly doesn't like Clint Curtis. Do a, you know, whatever investigation, take certain bits of information, exclude other bits of information. And so they'll have a conclusion that they want at the end of the day that they're going to get. And all these investigating firms, you know, if you don't deliver what the county wants, you're not going to get the job again. So you will deliver what they want. Mm. So in the case of Stephanie Bridget, they didn't want to hurt her, so they watered it down. And there were still sustained allegations of fraud, even watered down. So we know it was much bigger than that. And there was another investigation that the public is unaware of, where there was in just before Shelley Forbes, before Monica Fugit, Shelley Forbes was the support services director, and just before she resigned, when Chris and Kevin came on board, and then she resigned along with Mary Williams because they wouldn't work for a conservative board, she fired off a harassment charge. She was a whistleblower, harassment charge on Kelstrom, Cry, and me. And so they got an investigator out of Sacramento to try to make us look bad, to trump up charges. And they sustained allegations on all three of us. The allegation that was sustained on me was that I may have used a gender word that may be inappropriate in Shasta County government. A gender word. That's what was sustained against me.
What, he, she?
Maybe. I don't know what a gender word is, but that's what was sustained. But nevertheless, Chris and Kevin didn't want that to be shown to the public, so it was never shown. They knew about it. They all got the report. And so in some investigations the board knows about, they keep quiet because they just don't want the public to know about it. Now, they were a hit piece. A lot of these are. The one on Clint Curtis was clearly a hit piece. And timed, you know, particularly that it would be very much election engineering to bring out the results right before the ballots come out. So there's still things that are happening within the board that I'm not happy with, and all roads seem to lead to Joe Larmer with the instruction to the board. And this issue with Stephanie Bridget should have never gone this direction. I should have not been involved in the lawsuit. It should have been Joe Larmer leading it, the board backing it up because they knew of the fraud, but they backed down. Kellstrom particularly came to me and said, it ain't going to happen. That's his exact words. You can quote me. He goes, I'm taking Stephanie over you. And I said, Chris, this is not about Stephanie over me. This is about doing what's right, holding her accountable. But he made a decision to do what he thinks is right to get him reelected because he didn't want to take on a corrupt.
So it wasn't personal.
It wasn't personal. He did it because he felt that it would help him get reelected.
Right.
He didn't want to take on a DA. Even
advantageous
though,
is what
right.
he thought.
And
it
he
would
knew
be.
About the fraud. He saw it. We lived it. We were there. We saw all the things. And so many other people saw, you know, when there would be a negative comment against the DA, you know, on Facebook posts and whatnot, people in her office would respond. And then our people would respond, and they would respond, and they would respond back and forth, all day long,
mm-hmm.
not getting work done. And these are people, you know, the people that are involved are people like Kelly Caples and Ben Hanna. They're right in the thick of that. You know, Ben's now a judge across the street. Kelly's still there. Lots of other people have moved on over to the city in different deals. They still may be held accountable.
Wait, aren't they husband and wife?
They are.
Oh, okay, just for clarification for the listeners.
Yeah.
So anyways, been a long ordeal and, you know, frustrating that, I couldn't show standing. I tried to do the right thing, by holding her accountable. And, you know, it's frustrating to see that county council, did not, the board did not, you know, and it was exhausting the year of 2024. I don't know how many times I had conversations with Joe that you need to move on this, you need to move on this, get an investigator, do something. I even found an investigator for him and said, well, use this one. Well, that would be inappropriate. Well, then you get somebody to do, and it's by law when you have a whistleblower, you have to do a timely, fair, and impartial investigation. You know, it's required. And that those things aren't happening. They're hiring certain companies. For example, a year ago, I was watching on the consent, and the Oppenheimer Group was on the consent calendar. And I knew about this group, and I looked up on their website again to refresh my memory, and super woke, out of San Francisco, diversity this, gender this, you know, all the woke things that you don't want in this county. So I called up Supervisor Cride. I said, Supervisor Cride, pull this off of consent, at least discuss it, and vote it down. This is not the type of investigating firm you want in Shasta County. I said, have you looked at their website? He goes, well, Joe says they give us a good deal. And I said, I don't care if they give you a good deal. Look at what they're going to give you. Look at the results they're going to give you. Now, Joe hired this group particularly a year out to go after Clint immediately. So this has been over a year in the making. Clint hadn't done anything. He hadn't done anything. Now, I didn't know that they were preparing to go after Clint with this group, but that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
And it's exactly why I'd called, you know, Supervisor Cride to say, get this off and discuss about it. There are much better firms that will deliver real investigation instead of hit pieces.
So that was premeditated on Joe's part?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now, why has Joe got such a heartache over Clint Curtis? Well, particularly because Clint Curtis now has filed the fifth bar complaint against Joe Larmer.
Yeah.
And obviously that's going to make Joe not so happy. And these are both attorneys, right?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they do not like each other. And and of course a statement by Clint Curtis saying that, you know, he would not hire Joe Larmer to sharpen a pencil probably didn't help things. That may be a true statement though. That wow. kind of stuff has gone on, you know, back and forth. And so come Tuesday, for this next Tuesday, they are attempting to censure.
I have a question on that.
Sure.
That you probably can answer. Is that on the consent calendar?
No.
No, it's on the regular calendar.
I think it's R5.
Wow. Okay. You know, I'm wondering about that because I was asked by a reporter yesterday from Washington, D.C. She said, can Clint be fired over these allegations? Can the board fire him, number one? And number two, if the board fires him, would Joanna Francesca, could she be picked to take over? Go ahead.
So some of the terms that you're using are not correct. No, he cannot
right.
he cannot be fired. He is,
right,
in essence, an elected official.
Right.
Even though he was appointed,
right.
He carries the weight of that, you know, position.
Right.
And so he is an elected official. He cannot be fired. However, there are two parts to his job. He's the county clerk and the register of voters. One is elected, one is a county position. Now, there has been rumor that They may, it's not on the agenda, so they would have to make a motion to bring it back. And they've already talked about this, and they've used this unusual term that I've never heard before, but workplace restraining order. And it is, in my opinion, that they will attempt, not on next Tuesday, but the following meeting, to place a workplace restraining order on Clint Curtis to remove him from the elections department. And then I believe they would go so far as to hire Joanna Francisca as a consultant.
I have a question about that. Well, they could hire her as a consultant, but if they needed to replace Clint, they can't replace Clint with Joanna because Joanna goes into office on the 1st, and that would be also a selection by the Board of Supervisors. They'd make that decision. And I don't think you can bring in an elected official that would give her more time for her term, right?
She's an ROV elect, but she is not elected yet.
So she could actually work for the county before she goes into office?
Sure, she is working for Trinity County now as we speak.
Yeah, but I mean for Shasta County because she is going to be our ROV officer.
Well, it has nothing to do with that. They could hire anybody as a consultant that they want.
Okay, so she's still eligible for that. That's my question.
I see no reason why she wouldn't, okay. But that is a possibility that this board may do.
May do,
So we will see. Now, if that...
You say you see no reason why she couldn't be. I do. Remember when she did the contract without the board's knowledge? That was a terminable offense.
Yeah, you think?
That was a terminable offense. But anybody else in any other office doing anything else would have been fired. Why she was not fired at that time is way beyond me. I don't understand that when the board sat on their hands and didn't do a damn thing. That is the reason why she shouldn't be there.
There's some people on the board that like her.
Yeah, and so unfortunately, county council at the time, and I certainly tried to get her fired because it's a breach of contract. She rewrote a contract. She had no authority to do so. The board made a motion, and it was supported by the majority of the board. It was a counterproposal. They rewrote it. Joanna and Kathy rewrote it and sent it forward. It's a breach of contract. Joanna was a county employee. She could be terminated for that and should have been. But I had a county council and board members that weren't willing to do it. And so they gave her a pass. Now, Joe Larmer, I think if you take a look a little bit more at his history, I think you will find, because he worked for Prentice Long, which is Margaret Long, which is Alan Long's wife.
Yep.
She is an attorney. She works for Tehama or Trinity County, and others. And Joe Larmer used to work for her, and I think and they are friends with Joanna Franciscott. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you can connect the dots there, I think you'll see a lot friendlier relationship and favoritism. And this is and I hate to say it, but it is absolutely true when you look back at past Board of Supervisors and the experience that certain board members had, like Les Baugh, even Leonard Modi to a certain extent, David Kehoe, and some of these guys, I highly dislike their thinking and their policies, but they had lots of experience. This board has no experience. Every single one of these board members, this is their first term. Mm-hmm. They've never been elected to anything else. Three of them have a year and a half, and two of them have, 3.5 years total experience. And so when you have very little experience, you rely on staff, and even Supervisor Kellstrom has said, I'm not going to disagree with staff, right? And that's a serious problem, because if that's what you're going to do, then we don't need supervisors. We just hire staff and bureaucrats. We need people that are savvy and skilled. And unfortunately, they're just very new and weak, and they succumb to staff. And I learned early on at City Hall, you've got to be very careful with staff. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they do lots of things. City attorneys and county councils, unfortunately, you'll never get a great city attorney or a great county council, because they'd have been in the private sector doing far better if they were. You're only going to get an average city attorney or an average county council. That's the best you're going to get. They simply could do far better if they had the skills in the private sector. And so, basically you're going to get a certain level of legal representation, and you have to challenge that. And I don't know how many times I've told various supervisors recently, get a second opinion on that. Don't take Joe's opinion on this. Get a second opinion.
Well, we're going to go to our break, our one and only break. And if you want to call in, the phone number is 530-605-4567, 605-4567, and time has come.
Perfect. 51.
Let's get her done.
Add a few limbs to your family tree and watch their pencil marks in the grass in the yard all grow up. Because the truth about it is it all goes by real quick. You can't buy happiness.
Craving something delicious and refreshing? Come try the new blackened chicken and shrimp salad at Charlie's Tap House, your perfect summer treat. And don't forget the big flippin' pizza, all 36 inches of it. Bring the whole crew. Our kid-friendly party room keeps you entertained while you dine. Then cool off with our homemade gelato with flavors changing every week. See you at happy hour 7 days a week from 3 to 6 with appetizers, beer and wine, and 25% off the beer wall where you pay by the ounce, local beer rotating. Charlie's Tap House, located in the Shasta Gateway. Great food, great fun, and the flavors of summer waiting for you.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Since 1934, Grange Co-op has been more than just a store. We've been a cornerstone of our community, owned by people like you. We proudly offer top-quality farm and ranch supplies, including our own Rogue feed, as well as workwear, western apparel, garden essentials, and pet care products. By signing up as a Grange Rewards customer, you not only enjoy exclusive benefits like special offers and 1% back on most purchases, but you also become part of something bigger, a cooperative that you own and help shape. Join Grange Rewards today.
God is great, beer is good, and people are crazy.
We're back.
That was a short song.
People are crazy. We all point at Terry. Yeah, there you go.
That's okay. Got to be a little crazy to be in this world, that's for sure. A little crazy to be doing what we're doing. And, Patrick?
Speaking of crazy.
Sick him, buddy. Get him.
Now, another interesting thing. So not too long ago, the county sent over five different county employees as rovers into the elections department to monitor Clint Curtis's behavior and anybody else's behavior that they saw. And so that'll come back on Tuesday in a form of a report as to what they saw. Now, what happened in the office when these revolving rovers came through is that for the longtime employees that were there that were being insubordinate, it improved their behavior because now they're being watched. And what the Rovers found was that Clint was not being abusive. He was not using words that would be offensive, and he's quite mild, in fact, and fairly hands-off. And so it's going to be interesting to see what they try to make of that report, or will they downplay it completely? Because that was supposed to be the smoking gun, right? You've got these five-county people coming in, watching, observing to catch Clint and saying, you know, you look pretty, or anything, right? Anything that they could be considered to be, you know, offensive. And so we'll see. And if they totally delete that, or at least not comment on that, then what it showed was Clint wasn't doing anything wrong. Mm-hmm. And in fact, they probably had some staff members, some entrenched staff members that were being insubordinate, but they're going to just leave it out completely, or they're going to have to fabricate the truth, one of the two, because Clint did a smart thing. He got some new people within that office that were quite a bit neutral. They weren't entrenched with the Joanna camp, and so they were able to see things that that we couldn't see because we're on the outside,
right.
And they certainly saw a very different narrative than what's being portrayed, and the censure, that's a minor deal. I got one for taking my plexiglass down, or opening the chambers, opening the chamber board.
Yeah.
And so that's just that is a formal declaration that the majority of the board disapproves of your actions.
So the censure is kind of a nothing burger, so they would actually try to get him on what?
So the censure is minor. That I can guarantee you, Joe Larmer wants more than that.
He
wants a pound of flesh.
It's all personal.
He's very personal with him. And so he wants to establish, after the censure, he wants to establish something more, which, again, I'm pretty sure they're going to come back to this workplace restraining order. I've never heard of it before.
We'd have
to do some research to see if the legality of it. But their attempt is to harm him and to remove him from that office.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, he's going to be gone anyway.
At the end of the year, but he's got one more election.
He's already, looking around to see where he would be employed. Okay, so all that's happening. Why in the world, other than the fact that Joe Larmer and maybe a couple of the supervisors just have a personal vendetta against him, I mean, why does this make any difference at this point? And one more thing, Measure B, according to what happened in court, they're not going to be able to implement that, or at least that's sort of the implication that the judge made, that they won't be able to implement Measure B. Whether they do or don't is a different story. So with all that, what sense does all this make?
Well, so Measure B is not dead yet, not by a long shot. So they're going to appeal that to the appellate court.
Right.
And that'll be heard very quickly, probably as early as next week. So that will determine whether, and either way, somebody was going to appeal this. If Measure B, went well in Shasta County Superior Court, then the county would have appealed. In this case, the Shasta Five are going to appeal.
Right.
And so at the end of next week, that'll give us a little better direction of whether this thing's going to go forward. And Clint Curtis was prepared to do that. Joanna Franciscott is not, and of course she's not there, and the other staff members that are there that are entrenched would try to sabotage the efforts as we've seen in the past. And when I was down at the elections office observing, not this cycle but in 2024, I'm simply watching, and I'm seeing election code violations. I've seen at least five. I brought the CEO down to show the election code violations that I've seen. He agreed with every single one of them. He's been very quiet on it, but he saw the violations. And the office at that time, with Joanna there, called California Department of Justice on me to try to get me in trouble, because if you say one thing that could be intimidating, it's against the law. You cannot intimidate election officials. I didn't say a word, but yet we had other people in this last cycle that were highly offensive and doing things against election law with regards to intimidation. Nothing. Right, absolutely nothing. Those people were left to be free to do what they want. So quite a bit of a double standard. They go after who they want to go after. They leave alone who they want to leave alone. And, you know, when I was watching years ago, not too many years ago, maybe in the 2022 cycle, out the back door, I was watching various people come in and back. I see boxes of ballots. I'm seeing people coming and going out the back, no chain of custody. You know, and I kind of stayed away because I just felt as an elected official, I should kind of back away a little bit and just observe, just watch and observe. And, you know, so there were lots of problems. And anytime you make change, that's when you're going to ruffle feathers, right? I mean, and that's kind of what Joe Lahmer doesn't want. He doesn't want change. He's got the job that he wants. He's got the pay that he wants. He'd like to retire in this job, and he doesn't want any ruffling of feathers, right? He wants no waves, as they say. And Clint Curtis represents huge waves, right? He wants to take on an election system that's ripe for fraud with no securities in place. Because that's what California does.
Yes.
They pass laws to allow all the bad actors to happen. And we've seen that. We've seen a cycle of cheating and not cheating, and it's gone on and on and on, and it hasn't gotten fixed. Can you fix it at a local level? It's hard, right? And as you talk to that reporter, and so there is a reporter that's coming in to Shasta County within a few days, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, from the White House press group, and they are looking at fraudulent ballots in Shasta County and elsewhere. We know we have signed declarations that we have people inside the office that have handled ballots where there are different weights and different thicknesses of ballots, which is impossible. They are all the same thickness. They're all the same weight. They're all the same paper that came from Runbeck in Arizona. But yet we have people that said, I'm feeling different ballots. I'm seeing ballots that were done by a computer, not a human. And that can be possible, but you can't have a lot of them. You could only have a very few of them for those people that use the machines at the precinct that are handicapped or that just simply chose to use that machine, which was very few people, maybe four or five. You know, across the entire county. But it's super light. You can't be seeing hundreds and hundreds of computer manufactured ballots. That is absolutely fraudulent. And what is going to get done about it? Now, we've heard about all kinds of problems in California. It's got the attention of the president. People are coming in. And we'll see. And that's exactly what Joe Lahmer didn't want.
Right.
Right. He wanted smooth sailing, not people are coming into Shasta County. Why Shasta County? Well, because we have a good group of people here, and we have an ROB that is trying to have, you know, a fair election. And I can guarantee you, from my firsthand knowledge and watching, we have not had fair elections. There are people in office that shouldn't be in office making decisions.
Right.
And
I have a question for you. Last night, the reporter you're talking about called me last night. Yesterday afternoon, and we talked for about a half an hour about this stuff, and she said she was wondering if we have any trouble with the federal government coming in and doing anything to interfere in our elections, which I thought was a really strange question, because of course we want the president to look at this. You know, there's a lot of fraudulent things that are going on. Of course we do. So I'm not really sure what. So she wanted to talk to Robin Littow and James Gallagher about this to see how they would feel with the federal government coming in and sort of sticking their nose into Shasta County's business, so to speak. I thought that was a little strange. What say you?
Well, it's irrelevant. And, you know, this reporter, I'm not sure if she completely gets it yet. But
you think?
But we've been at it for a long time.
Yes.
And, you know, we've seen, you know,
so we want that
things.
Help.
You know, Jovan Pulitzer in Maricopa County in 2021, he was hired by that county to take a look at, you know, 2 million ballots. And he had a variety of different methods to take a look at things. And he found 10,000 ballots that had bamboo fibers in the paper. Clearly, they were not their paper. They were fraudulent ballots.
Mm-hmm.
They could have come from China. They could have come from
Thailand,
wherever.
Yeah.
But they weren't ours. Mm-hmm. And he takes that to court, and of course, no standing. So there have been ballots that have been introduced into voting systems, and no one would know. Now, Jovan caught it. He's a pretty smart guy with the computers, and he was hired to do it. So he had the legal ability to touch these ballots. Right now, the ballots from this 2026 primary are locked in a particular room. They are secure, and Clint Curtis has done that.
That was the next question I had. Go ahead.
And I want you to look at it, Terry.
No, that is the next question I had, because that was the
thing. So who wants to be the next Tina Peters, right?
Because, yeah.
Because I know, we know we have, yeah. There is something. And what's very interesting is when in the in 2024 on that primary, in 2024, on the 2022 primary, we asked Joanna Franciscott, you know, we know you have to hold them for 22 months. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow it comes up on that date. Mm-hmm. We feel there's some issues for sure in that primary. You know, could you hold them for another 6 months just so that it gives some time for possibly some evaluation of those ballots? Mm-hmm. The very next day at the back of the Marcus Street election office was the shredding truck, and they shredded them all. And at 8 o'clock in the morning, she didn't waste 1 second to get rid of those ballots.
So
and the reason why is because that's evidence.
Right. Yes, that's right.
You know,
and the law does not say you have to destroy
them. Right.
It just says you have to keep them at least that long.
Right.
You can keep them forever if you wish.
Right. And Clint Curtis has. He has kept the 2024 ballots beyond the 22 months. And there's problems with those ballots. I would be highly interested to look at those ballots too. But I guarantee you come January, those ballots will be shredded on day one.
Who is going to look at it, though? I mean, again, is somebody from the federal government going to come in and look at those things
That's the problem.
Go ahead.
Who is authorized?
Who's authorized?
We can't even have the sheriff. Sheriff Bianco tried to look at ballots. Look what happened to him. Tina Peters tried to. She had Mark Cook take a copy of the hard drive. She went to prison. She's out now, but she went. They made an example out of her. Right.
Yep.
She knew something was wrong. She knew they would destroy the evidence. She tried to save it. She was doing her job.
Yes.
And they made a villain out of her. So now, and Clint's smart enough to know that he's not going to touch him, right? He's got him secure. He's doing his job. And now we would like somebody from, you know, the U.S. Department of Justice or the U.S. Attorney General to come in and to take a look at these ballots.
Yep.
And the problem here, and this is my opinion, is that this is not new. You know, these things... all over the country, 3,500 counties. We are not the first county by far to say we've got some issues here. And so the major parties, this administration, past administrations, they know about these problems. I think they've all felt that they can control them, right? And let's not get down into the county level and uncover this and that. Jovan did in Maricopa County, but they didn't want to look at it.
Well, the reason, like with Tina Peters, one of the challenges she ran into is that the state is the one who prosecuted her, not the federal government. The state did, and when the state did that, the state was telling the federal government, because of Article 1, Section 4 in the United States Constitution, that they didn't have any right to come in here, and they couldn't demand that she be free or get a pardon, because this is a state offense, and the state had control over this, and that's why I think
suspect this reporter is wanting to look at the federal races, because that's where the feds could, if there was fraud within a federal race, then would that give legal authority to the federal government to take a look at it? And so I suspect that's the direction that they want to go. They'll have to tread lightly too.
Sure.
No one up to this point, there hasn't been real effort to, I think President Trump has probably made the most effort to look at this. And, you know, having voter ID is one part of it. It's not, it'll solve one issue. There are many more.
Yes.
And so I think he understands it. But, you know, elections are ran at the state level and at the local level, and there's only so much the federal government's going to do. And to be honest, we have infiltrated governments around the world, and we have changed the outcome of elections all over. You know, and the vast majority of the public is probably unaware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that China hasn't tried to infiltrate our systems, that's ridiculous. They certainly have tried. And they'll try again, and they will get in again. They're very good at it. They've got thousands of people working at it. So are the Russians. So are others. What's at stake? The world. Whoever's in office, look at the vast changes that are happening in our country today. Who's in office and who's not? And are they there legitimately or not? And so it is a big issue. We're starting to understand it a little better. We still only have, you know, bits and pieces. But when you're down at the ground level and you're feeling a ballot that is too thin, not the right paper, then you know you've got a problem.
And yeah. when you have more votes cast than there are registered voters,
yeah,
that's an issue.
That is a big issue.
I guess San Diego now has that issue going on. I heard yesterday that, you know, more ballots than people who voted, or more people that voted than there are voters. And
well, in that highly contested 2022 primary here in Shasta County, we had a record turnout in a primary in a non-presidential election.
Right.
We did.
And all established candidates won in the primary.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Now, here's my theory. So how are they doing it, right?
Yeah.
You know, how are they getting extra ballots in? Now, we wouldn't know. And there were a lot of – there was a record amount of ballots. And that didn't seem correct. There shouldn't have been, I don't believe there should have been a record. There should have been, you know, a reasonable number in that primary, but not a record. It's very, in my opinion, you could easily, out of Sacramento, drop in 5,000 or 6,000 ballots, with the right paper. They would be computer imaged, and they would select the candidates that they want. Put in envelopes. The signature verification is so weak now, they'll come into our system, run through the Agilis machine, opened up. Once that ballot is separated, it's now going to be counted. You can do a recount. That's why they're all saying, hey, let's do a recount. Well, you're just going to count the same thing that you already have.
Yeah.
I say we have fraudulent ballots within the office that should not be there. And they know in the primary who's voting and who's not. They've known that have you voted, you're a registered voter, but you haven't voted in the last five primaries, you're not going to vote in this one either. So they have the names if they wanted to. And to go that far, they have your signature too. So they could even, you know, replicate a rough copy of your signature enough to at least get it through the signature verification.
Yeah.
And 5,000 or 6,000, extra ballots is not going to be alarming, right? Instead of having, you know, 48% turnout, you had 51, so it's not alarming. So no one's going to know anything there, but it'll affect every race in the county that you want. And they're smart enough to know, don't let Trump lose, right? Don't go that far, because that would be obvious fraud, right? Leave him alone. Maybe skim a little, right? The same with Doug LaMalfa. You know, he's going to win, and he's solid, you know, in this district it was. You know, so don't do much with that, right? But these other races, particularly the close ones, that's where they're getting them all the time. We can't win a close race.
Right.
Even though we should, we won't. The only time that conservatives have won in this county recently is by what I consider a landslide, and they just simply didn't cheat enough.
Right.
And they cheated, and they cheated a fair percent, right? Enough that typically it would do it, but not enough.
Yeah.
And I believe they cheated in my 2020 fall race. They didn't in the primary. And I beat the incumbent 2-1 in votes. I got 42%, he got 21. So I beat the incumbent 2-1. And the night, in the same night that Trump lost, or won, but didn't win, that night when the first numbers come up, they had my opponent 0.4% close to me. And I knew there was something seriously wrong. I went on to beat him by a little bit, but there was something seriously wrong that they had padded that. There was no way he could be that close to me. I beat that guy silly, up and down, outwalked him, outtalked him, outraised him in money, just outdid everything. And there should have been a reasonable gap, and there wasn't because they cheated. And I knew that. And I didn't certify that election. I haven't certified any election from then on. Now, I just knew there was a problem. Now we're starting to get more facts about who's been doing what. We still don't know who exactly, but it can be from around the world. And Trump is saying a lot of it is from China. It could be.
Well, he wants that to be, because then he can put forth an emergency order,
right,
and get control over the elections. And so I think that was kind of where that reporter was going to. She's a little nervous about that. She does claim to be a conservative, but I don't know.
Yeah, you never know. And I don't know. I still think the state of California has something to do with it. Because we've seen cheating in Florida for Republicans.
Yep.
I don't think the Chinese would cheat for Republicans in China, you know, or, you know, the Chinese would not cheat for Republicans in Texas, right? I just don't think they would do that. But at the state level there, I think they would. And so I think within our own state, we're seeing some of these things. It would be nice to be able to prove that. Now, the more time and effort we put on this, I think eventually someday we will be able to prove these things.
You know, DeMaio, I got a I always get a lot of, everybody does, you know, I need more money, I need more money. Did I say need more money? I need more money. He's saying that he's having a little bit of difficulty with that initiative of voter ID. Has anybody heard anything about that, any kind of update that's reality?
The only thing that I've heard is that the state's playing games with the title and description.
Okay. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, and of course that's how they do it.
That's what, okay.
Yes.
Because they're going to try to deceive the voters by playing that game.
And DeMaio has taken it to court to try to force them to put a fair title on it.
Back to court we go.
Vote no if you mean yes.
Yes, exactly. That's what they want you to do.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I think that... you know, first of all, I want to thank you, Patrick and Lori. Thank you, too, for all you do for the community. I mean, you guys are amazing when it comes to helping out on everything.
Well, speaking of that, Terry, we've got a fundraiser
coming
up.
We do. We do.
And, yep. You know, this one, you know, and it may not be the last one. I'm hoping it is. I'm hoping that, you know, this gets the 2A legal fund gets to the U.S. Supreme Court, and we finally... once and for all, Baird versus Bonta, finish off what is your constitutional right to open carry, and I think that's where it's going to be heading to go. So it's worth the effort, and so we're calling on all gun owners that if you've not bought a ticket or a table yet, the tickets are cheap. You get a great steak dinner for $40, table for $8. Bring your friends, bring 7 of your friends for $250. That's super cheap to support this effort, and you know other counties are doing the same thing. So we have to do our part. And, you know, Siskiyou County's done fundraisers, and I think Tama County has done one before for this as well. But this is our time coming up just in a few weeks now. So it's a Friday event, and that's this August the 21st at the Anderson VFW. It's 3210 West Center Street. Doors open at 4. And we got a bar in there. We've got AC in there, so you're going to be nice and cool. We've got a lot of great prizes coming in, guns and silver and all kinds of great things. I haven't found a small pony yet, but we're working on that.
How about a big dog?
And Mark's done a great job with this, keeping this forward. It would have never happened without Mark Beard putting his time and energy on it. And
a lot of money.
You know, and what this is going to mean ultimately is not just for California, but for the entire country. You're going to have the right to carry any firearm loaded, any rifle or handgun, any number of them on you right down Main Street. And it's going to be awesome. And the liberals are absolutely going to explode, which will be the great part about it. And they're going to have to learn that the Second Amendment is real. And this is going to do it, because you're going to see a lot more guns, and crime is going to go down, and the world, our world, will be better.
Yeah, and crime is down in every state that has open carry and constitutional carry, way down.
And in fact, what happens, you know, in Reading, this is what will happen. In big cities, it's harder. But after a while, you'll start accepting that you're seeing more guns. At first, it's hard because you're seeing guns where you have not seen guns before. But after a while, you're going to see the same people carrying, and you're going to know those people. Mm-hmm. And so actually a sense of comfort will come over in that they can take care of themselves and their immediate surroundings. And for criminals, when you walk into a Safeway and you see 3 guns, they're leaving, right? They think everybody's got a gun, even though that it's only probably 5% of the people in the store have a gun. It makes it appear like there's a gun on every aisle. I'm going somewhere else. And so it helps the businesses. It helps them save money, which will be turned around to you as well. So this will be a cost savings as well. Crime has cost us a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Well, business owners can have their guns on their hip as well.
Correct.
So then they can defend themselves as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's a lot of great small guns that can satisfy you. You don't have to have a great big gun to defend yourself
with.
And
don't to carry a bazooka.
That's what's popular now in the last 10 days. Obviously, I'm a firearm dealer, and I encourage everyone to buy one gun a month.
At least, right?
Well, Patrick and Lori, thank you so much again. Great coming on here. Great information as usual.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget that fundraiser, August the 21st.
Tickets at Jones Fort.
Tickets at Jones Fort. Information and tickets at Jones Fort. Yep.
And while you're there, join the Gun of the Month Club.
Yes.
There you go.
All kinds of fun things.
There you go.
Well, time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
Cause we can't see eye to eye. There ain't no good guys. There ain't no bad guys. There's only you and me.
just disagree.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.